Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of dog ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today, I'm taking a walk with a really good friend of mine. We met at the dog park, and she has five huskies. Her name is Joanne.
Four and a foster.
Four and a foster.
What do you want to know about this husky lifestyle?
So let's talk about, I guess, your first dog.
I got my first dog accidentally. My sister, I don't know, she took the opportunity. She was like, you know, let's go ahead and get a dog.
Right.
And originally I was like, no, I'm working too much. And then she was like, well, just come look at it with me. Uh-huh. And then that's how I got Callie. She was not going to be mine anyways because somebody had already picked her from the litter.
Uh-huh.
I had chosen a boy dog called Ryan, but I don't know, I didn't vibe with him. It was more my sister.
Right.
And then when Callie got put back into the litter pit, I picked her up, I put her on my shoulders.
That was all she wrote.
She kind of nudged in there, and that was it. Like, I was like, okay, well, let's do the paperwork.
Yeah.
And it was very hard at first.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought I was going to get the support from my sister.
Right.
And then it was pretty much like, she did support like in the afternoon, but it was pretty much, here you go, assume all financial responsibilities.
Right.
So she pretty much became mine, and I wasn't going to let her go anyways. But then when she was a puppy, it was fine because she slept all the time.
Right.
And as she started growing, I was like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. Which I knew huskies were crazy to begin with. Uh-huh. Because my job transferred me to Vail a couple times to work at the Four Seasons, and my roommates had huskies and shepherds. But it's a completely different lifestyle when you live up there. The altitude makes them more tired. They're, you know, used to being in the mountains.
And they run around.
They have, like, the whole terrain in Colorado becomes an agility course for them. So it was completely different when you're raising a dog, a mountain dog, in South Florida.
Right.
It's either give her up or get her another one. Uh-huh. And of course I wasn't going to give her up because, you know, once you, the way that I feel,
right,
and maybe I feel like this because I don't have children, uh-huh, but once you're part of my household, it's a wrap. There's no taking anybody to the shelter, no matter what dog it is, whether it has aggression or not, or it just, we're going to work through it.
Yep.
And that's it. I realized how much they really need interactions from other dogs and the socialization and how much it calms them down. So I said, you know what? Let me get another dog. I got Akira. Mm-hmm. Akira was tough because I got her when she was 6 months old and she was an abused puppy. I thought I broke her when I first got her because she didn't leave the kennel for almost 2 months. And I was like, oh my goodness, this dog is not responsive. Being with Callie, which Callie was adamant about never going in the kennel, and Akira is like kennel
the opposite.
Yes, the total opposite. And all of a sudden I would see Callie in the kennel with Akira every single night, and she kind of rehabilitated her there. Callie was 8 months when I got Akira, and they're just so intuitive and so smart, these animals. And the sentiments that they have is, you can't find that. And unfortunately, unless you're a parent or a sibling, you can't find that kind of sentiment for a new person.
Right.
The way that they have for each other, once they bond and click, it's insane. And then after that, because of you.
Yeah, that's true.
I acquired Troy through the animal shelter. I went to go see him. And of course, I don't know what I thought. I was like, yes, I'm going to go see Troy. He's at the time he was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I saw him laying there. He was like really skinny. And I said, well, we got to bust his dog out. So I busted him out, took him to the vet, spent $1,100 off the bat. The shelter never told me that he had all these underlying issues. And I was fortunate enough that I was the one, I say that I'm fortunate enough because I was the one that got him. And you know, at the time, spending that money on him was not an issue
right.
for me. But I can understand where people are like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
And there was no transparency, and I get it. They're super overwhelmed with
right.
animals and people that mm-hmm. just...
Don't get it.
Don't get it, or don't want to take the time with animals, mm-hmm. honestly. If it's a big responsibility, it's a big financial responsibility. As you and I and most yeah. of our friends have spent a good chunk on these animals that we've known less than 5 years, you know, because they haven't been around for that long. Right. Oh, sorry. And then we have Teddy, who is my foster,
yeah.
who we are trying to...
Find a home for.
But I'm not in any rush as far as finding a home, mm-hmm. just because of the simple fact that he does have a lot of issues that we're working with. He is a very large dog mm-hmm. and had no source of training. He's very powerful in the sense of when he wants something, whether it be a toy or a treat, he will acquire it at whatever cost.
Right.
And because he is so large, he can do damage.
Yep.
Hopefully find somebody that is incredibly alpha
uh-huh.
and
that fits him
and that understands that he's not going to just a home that's going to let him do willy-nilly stuff. I want him to be relocated in the correct home
mm-hmm.
and they understand that he's a husky. My latest one, he's been with us a couple weeks now. Toby, I actually went to go rescue another dog that my dearest friend Nellie here recommended. We saw this dog. We went to go look uh-huh. at it in the shelter. I brought my two girls and he was actually unneutered. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to get him. And on my way out, I saw this little guy and I thought he was so precious. And I was wondering to myself, what is he doing in a shelter? When I was filling out the paperwork, this family came in. We've been coming to look at him for a week. My daughter has autism. I think he would be really good for him to be with the family. And of course, me already having four mm-hmm. that I'm taking care of, I said, all right, fine. He's gonna be great for your daughter. And
right.
3 months down the line, they couldn't keep him anymore for whatever
yeah.
reason. And I had already, you know, built a communication line with her where I told her, hey, if you're ever gonna bring this dog back to the shelter, mm-hmm. please let me know. Because at least I knew that I had the organization GTS Husky behind my back if, you know, I couldn't keep him at my house and just needed me to foster him for a little bit.
How is your relationship with GTS Husky?
It's pretty good. I'm so happy that through this organization, I've been able to also, you know, communicate and learn and mm-hmm. just have a relationship with these like-minded individuals that understand the struggle of a dog, you know, the shedding,
right.
the energy, the socialization that you have to give them, the love. After I got Toby, I completely understood why the application process for some of these rescues are so rigorous,
yeah.
because some of the dogs won't be released without a husky in the house because they are pack animals, and Akira would not have been able to be rehabilitated if it was just me and her,
right.
or her and I.
Do you find it easier to make friends with, like, dog people, or just
regular? So when I'm at home, I'm very introverted, and with the dogs,
yeah.
when I'm outside, I'm a very, like, social individual.
Right.
I make friends with the wall or the dirt. I don't know. I think I get along with a lot of subset of people.
Yeah.
I get my doggy phase, my drunk phase, my work phase. I get along pretty
yeah.
much with it. And I think also the confidence, especially when you have a dog
uh-huh.
or dogs that you have to care for, like all the nonsense that was like your outside influence in life where you were so like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said this and this about
uh-huh.
me. Like, you don't give a crap. The only thing you care about is if your dog is talking
exactly.
about you or giving you the side eye. That's the only thing you care about.
It is true.
Yeah,
like if he didn't cuddle with you, you're like,
yeah, no, for sure.
Idea.
Like, Troy didn't sleep with me last night and I was heavily offended. Like, my mom's friend is staying with me and she went to go sleep with her and I'm like, well, I'm gonna have to kick her out because he's not coming to the room. I don't know what's going on.
What would you tell people? Because, you know, a lot of people that not necessarily do they have dogs, but they're like, how could you have a husky in Florida or in a hot climate? What would you say to them?
My house is also not 97 degrees. I do keep my house at a comfortable temperature at home. And then when I take them out to the backyard in 100 degree weather, that temperature internal in my house stays in their coat. They're perfectly fine. I'm also not bringing them to play at 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're out here at the crack of dawn. You know what I mean? Like trying to have them do their exercise. They go to the park every single day. Uh-huh. I try to get there between 6, keep them there till about 8:30. And then in the afternoon, we take late night walks. I think people that have that misconception wake up late, honestly. Yeah. And it's perfectly fine. They're totally fine. And even when you go live in Colorado during the summertime, uh-huh. it's cold, yeah, but sometimes it's really hot. It's not like that Colorado or all these states where you commonly find, and Montana is like cold all the time. No, sometimes the dry heat is like way hotter than here. So I don't know, people that think that huskies can't live in South Florida are greatly confused, or they don't want to do the research, or you know, I'm here to tell you I have 5 under my roof. It's okay.
What would you say to people that don't like dog parks? We go every day, and that's where we met, you know?
Yeah, of course. I get it. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. It is a scary place. People are not as responsible as they should be. Yep. I have had situations at the dog park where I, you know, have had one of my dogs, you know, do some damage to another dog. At the same time, it's my fault. I didn't, you know, when you get a new dog in the household, whether it's a puppy or a grown dog, mm-hmm. there's a decompression period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, well, I want to, you know, make them a part of our everyday life. And it was a learning lesson for me. He did not get along with a certain dog at the dog park. Mm-hmm. They did get into a tussle, and unfortunately, it did end up hitting my wallet quite big, but I get it. I totally get it. I just think that once you build these bonds at the dog park where they have their pack, they protect each other. You get acclimated with the people that are and the dogs that are coming into the park, and you learn little by little what you can handle. So it's an investment to go to the dog park every time. You don't know what you're gonna get. It's a wild mm-hmm. card. I think that when people go to the dog parks, they're like, okay, well, I'm just gonna let my dog do whatever.
And I'll be on the phone.
Yeah, and then I'll be on the phone, I'll be on Instagram and whatnot, but you have to be vigilant. You know, even if your dog doesn't have complete recall, mm-hmm. you need to be around your dogs. I mean, I have 5 of them, but they play with each other, and one of them, which is Troy, the eldest one, he stays on the bench, so I rarely have to mm-hmm. take care of him. You have to be vigilant. If you're going to the dog park and you're not gonna be vigilant and you're not gonna be on top of your dogs, mm-hmm. then don't go. If you're gonna go to the dog park and you're gonna make an effort to interact with the people, the dogs, because you also wanna know, once you're there, who are around your family, you know what I mean? Like. There's, as you and I know, there's some people at the dog park that we just do not.
Yeah, we're like, nope.
Stay away, steer clear. Sometimes.
And we leave right away.
Yeah, I mean, even though my dogs are not the aggressor, the minute that I see the car pull up, I'm like, hey, all the boys are going on a leash, period. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. So it's not my dogs, it's the other person's dogs, but I'm not gonna risk my dogs for that. Teddy, whenever he sees this other certain dog at the park, I put him on a leash. I said, well, you know, you don't know how to behave. Mm-hmm. You are not going to go play. And that's it. And that's okay. It's okay for you to...
Yeah, to like discipline them.
Distance them.
I mean,
them.
Would you call them? Would you call it discipline? Like you're putting them in time out.
Oh, absolutely. I practice a lot of discipline at my house just because if I didn't, I would have 5 huge dogs overrun my my life, and I can't. I need structure with them. So, you know, don't be afraid to use a shock collar. I know a lot of people are against it, but it has helped me a lot, and it helps me recall them whenever I feel like they're going to get into a situation. I mean, don't be... People that, like, are, like, super against shock collars, they're like, oh, my gosh, how can you shock your dog? I'm not shocking my dog. Like, I shock myself before I shock my dog. I get it. Like, I'm not, like, shocking him every 2.5 seconds. Uh-huh. It's just, it also has a beep and a vibrate mode that really, really works.
Yeah. No, I mean, the shock collar is a great tool.
It is.
And that's the thing. You just need to know how to use the tool. If there's a dangerous situation and Yanko is off leash and there's another animal, he's going to get...
He's gonna get a low, a low reminder that you need to come back, and that's it. It's
for safety.
Exactly.
I'm not there shocking the shit.
I know, which a lot of people. Sometimes I'm like, how do you use a shock collar? If you think it's not, and I barely have to use it, honestly. At least for my relationship with Teddy, it has helped me a lot. So don't be afraid to go to the park if you're going to pay attention to them, and then also have a shock collar if the park is big enough to where they can really get far away from you. And build your relationships with your dog people, you know? Ask questions. I was very fortunate that when I had Callie, a lot of people were telling me, stay away from this dog, stay away from this dog. So eventually Callie became friends with those dogs.
Right.
I got the intel, and I knew what to look out for, and you know, I knew who to keep my dogs. Sometimes, you know, honestly, my dog got introduced to not a pleasant situation the first time she went into the dog park, and I didn't know either. I didn't. I was like, oh cool, look, there's another dog. And he pinned her down, and ever since then, she learned her lesson. She was like, well, now when she walks by that dog, she pivoted the other way. So sometimes them getting into like little scraps, they learn their place too.
Right.
You just have to be around them to break it up. I see people that have a whistles, and whistles are very good tools because it kind of knocks them out of whatever state they're in. So carry a whistle, carry a little beep. Whatever you can, you know?
Yeah.
Just be aware of it.
I always do my best to donate to rescue groups. And you being involved with one, has that changed your perception of rescuing dogs?
No, having a dog changed my perception of rescues.
Okay.
Before I had dogs, the only thing I knew about was like the ASPCA, you know, the ones that you see on TV. But as you go in deeper, there is smaller rescue groups that are really very overwhelmed. Pause for you, especially GTS Husky, which is the one in my heart. I also donate a lot to another group from Oklahoma called Husky Haven, which honestly, that lady doesn't have the life, but at the same time, she's like surrounded by 100 huskies. I'm like, she has a life. So that one I'm also very, has a very special place in my heart because they do transport a lot of dogs from a lot of areas. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I look at their page and I'm like, all these people give up their dogs because supposedly these dogs are just like worst attitude and they don't know how to behave. But then you put them in a pen with 100 other huskies and they're all frolicking and thriving and building these relationships with their packs. And I'm like, no, you are not the doing problem. The correct stuff. You know, it's not the dog. It takes a lot of time and money, and anybody who can spearhead organizations like that, honestly, I think are just badasses, because I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
no, you could say whatever.
It is and some of the situations, the dogs that they get, they're not all like,
no,
you know, super happy-go-lucky.
No, right.
Good dogs. No, some of these dogs are in incredible hurt mode, and what they do, I guess they have a thick stomach, because if I see a dog that's hurt, I break down, you know.
I always look at what the shelter has.
Which is torture, honestly.
No, it is, but it also grounds you, right?
And
so I do two things. I look at what's in the count, like what the county has, and I also go on Craigslist, and I get so mad when I go to Craigslist, right? Because it's these people that are just mating their dogs to make money.
Yep.
And it's not, they do not care about the dog in any way, shape, or form. It's just your money to them.
Yes.
And if you need to return the dog, they left. No. They do not, they're like, who are you?
I mean, you're buying from Craigslist. If that's
right,
not sign enough, then.
But that puts it into perspective how, like, uneducated and, I don't know, like, you're not you have no empathy.
Yes. And that's why I think, you know, you creating platforms like this is amazing. And I'm totally all for it. I was very excited when you mentioned it. And I hope that people take the time to research. I actually, when I researched Callie, when the first week that I had her and I were just watching wolf documentaries for 2 weeks. I was knee deep in Net Geo. I was watching the movie Alpha, you know. And I realized that dogs, obviously they derive from wolves. And if you look at them, like, when you see them play, you're like, okay, cool, they're playing, they're not fighting, you know, because you learn from them. You have to do your research, and I think this is an awesome platform.
Right.
From different minds and different animal lovers and different ways of raising dogs. The number one thing that I want to stress is if you don't have the time, you don't have the money, and are worried about a clean house,
it's not for you.
Don't. If you're in either one of those categories, do not get a dog. Like, if you're thinking, oh, I can do the other ones, but not the clean house, I don't know, I don't like hair around my house, don't get one.
Yeah.
Like, just don't get one. I literally, like, I think I eat dog hair most of the I think I do eat dog hair a lot.
Yeah, no, and it's a commitment. I mean,
I don't 100%.
Know, I really don't know how people could go and say, hey, you know, like, I love this animal, but I just don't have time for them.
100%. I always thought, like, my biggest fear, maybe not being there in the future with my dogs, but my biggest fear sometimes now is, like, how am I going to feel in 8 years? That, because Troy got surrendered when he was 8 years old to the Miami-Dade Animal Shelter. And my biggest fear now is, like, how am I going to feel about my dog in 8 years that I feel that it's okay to
after
let them go?
Years.
Because I literally fall in love with my dogs more and more every single day. Like, when I thought, oh my gosh, when she was a puppy, that's when I'm going to love her the most. No, it's, I wake up and I see Callie and I see the boys and I fall more and more in love with them. And to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to feel like this in 8 years? Because I see so many people dump these old dogs. And I'm like, is that a natural human evolution part of life?
Because no, I don't think so.
I don't understand how people keep dogs for so long. And they're like, bye, deuces.
And they don't even think of the impact it does to the dog.
Of course,
Like, the dog's whole life is you.
Exactly. I talk to Troy. I have many conversations with my dogs. And I talk to Troy because he's like my man. And I ask him, I'm like, hey, you know, how's your life before? Are you doing better now? Like, if you saw your old owner, would you recognize him? Would you run to him? Would you stay with me? Like, I just have all these, like, you know, I want to be your number one in your life. You know, I want to be the one that treats you the best. I want to. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just.
So would you ever want to do a rescue?
I think The question was if I want to have kids, right?
No, if you want.
What was it?
If you want to have kids. No. If you ever wanted to run a rescue.
Yeah, if I have $1 million, absolutely. Like, I don't know how candid I could be, but sometimes I think about sleeping people for $1 million just so I can have a dog owner organization. And that's morally against whatever I believe in, but I'm like, I don't know. Well, hey. Uh-huh. I just think I have to do it right. If I cannot have an organization, then I will continue to support organizations that do it right. I would love to, yeah. Like I said, I think Husky Haven has a life. She is surrounded by huskies all day long. That's just like my absolute happiness. And 100%. Another one that I follow a lot that has a life, the Asher House.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just like, how do these people like live in this paradise? But I know it's not paradise. A lot of those dogs need a lot of rehabilitation.
Right.
A lot of medical costs. And so, yeah, I mean, if I ever become anything that I can comfortably, you know, have a financial backing, of course, I'm filling up my house, ranch, whatever with dogs. Absolutely. But till then, just support the people that actually do it right. Yeah. So
any tips on how they could find out if they're doing it right?
See their everyday lifestyle on Instagram. Look at their website. If they do a very, very rigorous background, home check, they're doing it right. You know what I mean? What I do love about the rescues that I support, if they make you sign waivers that for whatever reason you cannot keep this dog, the dog is gonna revert back to the property of the rescue. And I think that's huge, because it's not like they're saying, oh, finally we got rid of this dog. It's like, no, we will continue to make sure the well-being of the dog is up to par if you cannot maintain, and the dog will become my property. Or if they see that you're mistreating the dog, they make you sign waivers. They have every right to get the dog off your hands. When I signed for Akira, Callie at the moment wasn't spayed, and they're like, if you don't get her spayed in the next month, Akira's coming back to us. And that's how you know that they're doing it right. If they're doing home checks, if they're wanting to see how your dog interacts with the dogs at home, they're doing it right.
Having a dog, has it changed your perception of like life and what?
100%. Pre-dog, I used to be an incredibly angry person.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I used to get mad at traffic. I used to get mad.
Well, that's hard here, man.
Yeah, I used to get mad at my family a lot. Everybody has their own family drama to deal with. Once I like switched over, I had like this click, you know. I'm a very passive person, and I think that's where it stems from. I'm a super passive person, but eventually I click, which is normal. That's usually what happens to like passive people. They explode, right? But now I'm also very passive and very apathetic to anything. Like I've had a lot of friendships where, you know, I care so much about maintaining the friendships with them.
Right.
And when I got a dog, I was like, sorry, I gotta hang out with my dog. Yeah. I can care less what you do, you know? And slowly you start to realize that some people that are in your life are just fantastic.
Yeah.
Some people that are in your life weren't a good fit for you. And when I got Callie, I learned a lot about that. And I also found better relationships because of Callie through all the people that I've met. I think animal people, especially people that are like treat their dogs as human babies, just have a level of compassion that just regular people might not have, I guess, you know. I think and it's okay, like, because I was one of those people. I was one of those people that didn't care about anything but themselves and maintaining a social life and friendships, and you know, not wanting to do my house the way that I want it, and, you know, just being incredibly selfish. And I thought, you know, I'm allowed to. I just live for me. Right. And then when I got a dog, I'm like, my house is never clean. I can't have big outbursts in front of the dogs because it affects them greatly. Yeah. Mood changes affects them greatly. Mm-hmm. And you know, with them, I find them so soothing. Like honestly, before I couldn't sleep, I was always tossing and turning in the bed. And mm-hmm. now with Troy, he lays up against me and his body heat makes me fall asleep deeply. So it gave me confidence, a lot of confidence, you know, especially when you're like a single woman in South Florida. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this. I can give a shit about any of that now. Like, yeah, it affected me a lot. And I think for the better, I have a better understanding of food, a better understanding of homeopathic remedies for dogs. And it made me aware of like big corporations and it made me aware of how effed up they are and how badly they just want to destroy the beauty of the human and the animal body. You know what I mean? It's just, and I started looking at Petfold and wow, what a source of information that movie is. Mm-hmm. I was glued to the TV, and ever since then, my dad started doing his own research. My dad, the one that didn't want a dog, he did his own research. He's like, well, I'm going to start home cooking for Callie. Uh-huh. And that's kind of how I evolved into just home cooking, looking at companies that do natural supplements and, you know, none of this.
Synthetic.
Yeah, crap. Synthetic stuff, natural stuff. And there's so many good things on the market. The treats that you provide, rabbit hide, who knew? I learned that from you, you know what I mean? Like I had no idea. The garlic information, the type of raw that you give to your dog, the experiments that you do are just incredibly a huge source of information.
So I don't know how easy this is. So you get to say a question you want the audience to answer for you.
My question is, have you considered your emergency plan when things don't pan out in life how you think they're supposed to pan out? During COVID, I was worried how I was going to maintain the dog. So for example, if I ever get into a situation where I cannot keep my lifestyle, my plan B is sell my house and get a van and just travel with my dogs.
Right.
You know, and it could be something simple like, you know, one of our dog park friends, she got separated and, you know, assumed this really high rent in Miami. Mm-hmm. And she had two dogs, which regular people would have been like, okay, well, my dogs are going to the shelter.
Yeah.
And no, she was like, okay, well, I'm getting a roommate. And that was her plan B. And she is still single mother, paying this massive rent.
Right.
Two dogs, you know, it's like, what's your plan B? What's your contingency plan when things go awry in life, whether it be financially, relationship-wise, could be the breakup, you know?
Yeah.
What's your contingency plan? And that's my question to everybody. And it's an interactive question.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. Please hit the subscribe button if you liked us, and it would be even better if you would leave us a review. See you next Wednesday.